This is Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of 1 Peter. I know it's not a very common book to speak from, and it's not a very common book to preach or teach or anything, really. You seldom ever hear 1 Peter unless it's a healing scripture or something that he referred to. But let's begin with chapter 3 and verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive. Now, nobody wants to hear this one, especially the wives. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Now, that's a powerful statement because behavior speaks volumes. And it speaks even more than words, actually. The behavior can convince a person whether there's truly a change going on or not, can it? You know, and that old adage, what you do by yourself is true content of character, isn't it? Well, let's continue reading. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Notice here that God doesn't give you an attitude. Many people believe that when they get saved or something, they develop some kind of an attitude problem. Or, I'm somebody. I'm a child of God. Stay away from me. No, if you are truly a child of God, you have the character of the Holy Spirit, which is a meek and quiet spirit. A meek and quiet spirit, a quality, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you, having become her children, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. It's practical knowledge that Peter is sharing here. When a man becomes a Christian, he'd bring his family into the church with him, and for example of the conversion of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:29. Your whole family will be saved. A woman who becomes a Christian usually came in and under Roman law, the husband and father had absolute authority over all members of his household, including his wife. Demanding her rights as a free woman in Christ could endanger her marriage. If her husband disapproved, Peter reassured Christian women that they were married to unbelievers, that they did not need to preach to their husbands, but simply show their husbands through their behavior that there's been a change inside. Let's continue reading. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Remember, your prayers can be hindered. If there's dissension, arguments, if there's some kind of disagreement always going on, your prayers can be hindered because faith is hard to cultivate faith in the midst of a fight. You know what I mean? But to sum it all up, you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult by giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires... Now listen, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. For one who desires life... Do you desire life today? Life or rhema or the life of God? Do you desire it? You desire life or you desire death? Here's a decision you have to make. One who desires life, to love, and see good days. You want to see good days? You want to see good days. He must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are attending to their prayer. You know, to know that God is attending to your prayer, that his eyes are toward you, you must seek peace and pursue it. Turn away from evil and do good. Keep your tongue from speaking evil, and the lips from speaking deceit. Boy, if you can control your tongue, you can control the entire body. Did you know that? You can control the entire body. If you can speak the words of life, if you can speak the words of God, if you can hold back your tongue and control it from speaking guile, from speaking deceit, from speaking evil, you'll see good days. You want to see good days, don't you? You want to desire life? You want to love? You want to see good days? You must keep your tongue from evil. Speaking that evil, your lips from speaking deceit and guile. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to do harm if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ, will be put to shame. Let them be ashamed of themselves because of your behavior, because of your humility, because of your Christ-likeness. That's what makes the difference. Keep a good conscience so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who are reviling you, your good behavior in Christ, that they'll feel shameful. They'll feel like, I feel bad because this person is truly Christ-like. They truly have a different spirit. They truly have been born again. They're different. They're different from me. They're different from everyone else. There is truly a difference in their life. For it's better. It's better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. Yes, it is, folks. For Christ also died for sins once for all. Once for all. Notice here, folks. He died once for all. Every single person. He died once for all. He didn't die a second time. He's not going to come back and die another time. He's not going to come back and... There's no more reasoning behind animal sacrifice. It's not going to happen. There's no more reasoning behind any of these kind of goats or any kind of sacrifice you send out in the woods, scapegoats. No more reasoning. Christ died once and for all for each and every one of us. The just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. God resurrected him from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead. He might have died in the flesh, but his Spirit came back, made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation. Where did he make proclamation? Did you know this? He made a proclamation to the spirits that are now in prison. Why are they in prison? They were disobedient. Spirits who were once disobedient. When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons were brought safely through the water. 8 persons were saved. The rest were destroyed. Why? You know, there's going to be few there be that find the narrow way. That's what Jesus said. You can bank on the words in red, folks. Few there be that find the narrow way. 8 people were saved during those. And Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so will it be when the Son of Man cometh. Only 8 people were saved. Boy, that puts the godly fear in you. That puts the reverence down deep in your soul, doesn't it? As in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. You know, salvation's not just easy, is it? It doesn't just fall on a person. They must make a decision inside of their heart and be serious about it. Be serious. Why? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 virgins were wise. 5 were foolish. These were all virgins. But only 5 were wise enough to bring oil in their lamps when the midnight hour came and the cry and the bridegroom came to pick them up. 5 of them went. 5 of them did not have oil in their lamps. Few as 8 persons were saved in the days of Noah, and brought safely through the water. They were saved. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. That resurrection of Christ is what saves us. Being baptized into Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Being baptized into Christ, into his body, because his flesh is the veil into the Holy of Holies. His flesh is the veil into the Holy of Holies, the only holy place on this earth, folks. It's not in a temple, it's not in a church, it's not in a synagogue, it's not in a megachurch, it's not in a pastor, it's not in a people. You know who it is? The only holy place that resides in this world right now is Jesus Christ. That's the only holy place. You might think that so many churches are holy. No, they're not. They're not holy. Jesus explained this. The only holy of holies now is through the veil, that is, the veil of his flesh. That's the Holy of Holy, going into Christ. Are you baptized into Christ? Submerged into Jesus Christ. That's the Holy of Holies. He's the Holy of Holies. That's how you get in. You get into Christ. He comes into you. Both he and the Father abode, make their abode in inside of you, and they have supper with you. This is what happens, folks, when you become born again. You go into the Holy of Holies. That is his flesh. Through his flesh. His blood is the only basis for righteousness. His flesh is the way into the Holy of Holies. When it was pierced by that spear, there was an opening made, and the curtain in the temple was rent from top to bottom. That means no more Holy of Holies on this earth. The Holy of Holies has been established in Christ. That's the only Holy of Holies that there is. That is, folks. It's not in a church. It's not in a synagogue. It's not in some big, gigantic place that's beautiful, that has acoustics for the Hammond organ. It is through Christ Jesus. That is the Holy of Holies, and that's what it always will be. Well, that concludes our study for today. If you'd like this particular study, folks, you can ask for offer number 4722. It'll be uploaded within a few weeks if you want to wait for it to get on krciradio.com. krciradio.com. You can certainly find it there. It'll be the third study in 1 Peter. The third study in 1 Peter. That's at krciradio.com, second page of sermon downloads, if you'd like to. And please leave us a comment, leave us a message. I'd certainly love to hear from you. Get your prayer request. Let us know you're listening. You can call us at 928-368-6766, or you can write to us at KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.